Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. We are your Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. We're a nonprofit, grassroots organization, nonpartisan, advocating for your constitutional rights. And we just am so appreciative of the fact that you take time to listen to the show. We hope you're getting something out of it. You can always go to cctaxpayers.com, provide feedback, let us know what you think of the show. Tonight, we've got Bob and Mary Griswold with
us. Hello,
hello.
We've got Diane Ruffino.
Hello.
And Hal and Rainer are not with us tonight because Hal just had hip surgery, just came home from the hospital, and he's recovering from that. He's doing well. Surgery went great. But we are going to have a special guest tonight. Tonight's topic is going to be on voter integrity here in North Carolina and some of the voter fraud that might be going on. And that leads us right into next month's meeting. Our public meeting is going to be with Jay DeLancey from Voter Integrity Project. And he's going to be talking to us about those issues also. That's the third Tuesday of the month. So that's, I believe, the 19th of this month.
Stanley Hall Ballroom.
Right. cctaxpayers.com. All the information's on the home page. Okay. We're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to be talking to Major Dave about the data he's been sifting through on the State Board of Elections and what he's uncovered.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government. to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, as promised, we have Major Dave Getz with us on the line. And Major Dave has spent quite a bit of time digging through the databases and the records on the State Board of Elections website. And he did this for the previous election also. And Dave, why don't you tell us a little bit about why you're doing this and what you're finding?
Well, thank you, Rick. It's great to be with you again. It's been a labor of love because I started at 2016 just looking into the issue of counties that had more people registered to vote than they had over 18 living there. And it's really exploded as I've migrated into other areas of the data. The Board of Elections makes several files public during each election cycle. One file is the absentee file. It lists everybody who votes absentee by mail or absentee at one stop. There's also a file on everyone who votes a provisional ballot. Then there's the results file, and that shows how many candidates, where they got their votes from, how many from each precinct or each method of voting, like absentee or provisional, and you should be able to add all those up. My findings in 2016 were compelling enough that Mrs. Kim Stragg, the director of the State Board of Elections, invited me to her office, and when I got there, it was not just her, but she brought her five top deputies to the table, including her lawyer, her general counsel. And we sat there at the desk in her office for over 2.5 hours going through the data that I had uncovered. And as of yet, they have not successfully rebutted any of my findings about the numbers that simply don't add up. And so I've kept at it and went into 2018 with the same mindset, just to provide some overwatch, because apparently nobody has ever gone back and looked retroactively at the data. And then I started finding out, well, these files they make public keep changing. And we found a critical change in 2016, that every single election data archive file going back to 2004 was changed in February of 2017. Now, they told me it was because they migrated everything to a new server. And so I asked them, well, that's interesting, because the February version of the absentee file from 2016 now has 1,723 more records in it than did the December version they published after the election. And they can't explain it. Well, I can partially explain it, because what I know now is that that's a net additional record. There were records in the December version that are no longer in the February, and records in the February that weren't in there in December. And one of them happened to belong to somebody I know, or at least the wife of someone I know. And I called them and I said, did you request an absentee by mail ballot? And they said, no, we voted in person on election day. They went down to the Wake County Board of Elections and demanded that they produce that request for an absentee ballot. And they said, we can't do that. He said, why? It doesn't exist. It's a completely fabricated record that got added in. We don't know who or why. But one of the biggest things that changed after my meeting with Strike was I pointed out the other major discrepancy in 2016, and that was the 505 missing lines of over and undervote totals from the results report. And they occurred in every race from president all the way down to county soil and water conservation supervisor in 38 of our counties. And she turned to her staff right then and said, well, we need to simply stop making those numbers public.
Whoa, wrong answer.
And ever since then, you will not find a line in the results report for the over and under votes. Therefore, we can no longer reconcile the number of votes awarded in a race with the number of ballots cast.
Wow, that's a shame. Well, Dave, let me interrupt you here for a moment. So sure. I want to jump back to 2017, April of 2017. This is a report put out by the Judicial Watch. And it's entitled, Hundreds Vote Illegally in North Carolina After Court Bans Election Integrity Law. And this will just back up that you're not just some wacko out here trying to come up with voter fraud that doesn't exist. The report goes on and says, less than a year after a federal appellate court sided with the Obama administration to strike down North Carolina's election integrity reforms, a state audit reveals that hundreds of votes were illegally cast by felons and non-citizens in just one election. Voter impersonation, double voting, and irregularities in absentee ballots sent via mail also tainted the election. According to the investigation conducted by the North Carolina State Board of Elections, the probe analyzed records from the 2016 general election. State auditors found that about 500 ineligible people voted in 2016. More than 440 of them were felons. Dozens of non-citizens from 28 different counties also cast ballots. A number of non-citizens said they were not aware that they were prohibited from voting. Interviews and evidence show that some non-citizens were misinformed about the law by individuals conducting voter registration drives, or in at least one document case by a local precinct official. North Carolina authorities also investigating 24 substantial cases of double voting in 2016. Some violators appear to be testers trying to find holes in the system. Others claim property ownership in multiple jurisdictions that should allow them, they think, to vote neat. Others brushed past the law to support their candidate by any means necessary. So, Dave, that backs up what you're trying to tell us, at least in part.
Well, it does, but you're pointing out a clear distinction in two different types of frauds.
Right.
There's voter fraud.
Right.
And voter fraud is what people do at the polls, voting, impersonating somebody, voting more than once, or a felon who's ineligible casting a ballot. But what I'm discovering is what is just pure election fraud. And that is the digital manipulation of the numbers and the records behind the scenes to alter the outcome.
So after they're collected.
Some people have asked me, well, the results haven't changed since last November. The vote totals are still the same. So why are all these records changing? And I submit, Rick, that it's to justify, not to alter the outcome. The outcome was already altered.
Right.
The changing of the records now is to justify that outcome.
I agree. Dave, other than the State Board of Elections, who have you brought it to anybody else's attention?
Well, I've actually sat and spoken with Tom Fitton, the head of Judicial Watch.
Oh, great.
And gone over my data with him. And frankly, they were just so swamped with their own investigations, they could not take mine on at the time. But I still email him and keep him posted and up to date. And at some point in time, they may well pick it up in a more formal manner.
If I remember correctly, right after Trump got elected, he set up a commission to study.
The Kobach Commission, yes.
Yes. And it was soon afterwards, because of all the legal battles it caused, was disbanded. But didn't you submit your information to them also?
I did, and I also spoke personally with Hans Pekoski, one of the members of that board. I gave him a copy of my documentary DVD, a copy of the executive summary, and samples of some of the printouts showing the various errors and discrepancies. And unfortunately, I did not hear back from him. But that's probably because the commission was disbanded and he had no further role in that.
Right.
But I did write to the White House itself. I've written to the Department of Justice. I got no response from DOJ. But the White House's response, sadly, was I needed to take it up with the local election officials. And it was like, you didn't even read my letter or you would have known they're the problem.
Yeah.
We're asking them to investigate themselves. So I took it to the FBI. I was put in touch with, I had a FBI agent who was a friend of mine that I'd worked with on a prior case, having nothing to do with election fraud, but he told me there were two agents in Raleigh that had experience in election fraud, Jared Doss and John Spears. And so I emailed both of them, showed them what I had, Their only action was to reach out to the Board of Elections for comment, and it went nowhere. And when I sat in that meeting with them, I found out that the Director of Investigations for the State Board of Elections is a lady by the name of Joanna Fleming, who is a retired FBI agent and a former colleague of theirs.
Oh.
Now, I don't know that they spoke with her, but I know that whoever they talked to and whatever was said was enough to give them what I call cover to close the file without any further action, and nothing was done.
Well, don't give up.
Oh, I'm not.
but again,
what is becoming more apparent now in the 2018 numbers, we have people who cast a provisional ballot on Election Day, and their date of voter registration in that county is Election Day. Now, same-day registration is not legal on Election Day, only during early voting.
Right.
And I'm being told that if the registration was incomplete, say they forgot to sign it or they failed to check a box or something, according to state statute, as long as they perfect that registration by 5 p.m. on the night before the canvass, that ballot can be counted. So we have people showing up registering to vote. If you just look at their record, they actually registered on the 13th of November, a week after the election day, but that's entirely legal. But it makes it very hard to look at these records and tell if something funny is going on or not. You can't assume that that's the reason in every case. So I look for other indications that data is being altered. Well, let me tell you, in Union County, that's one of the counties affecting the Mark Harris race.
Right.
There were 138 such cases of provisional ballots that showed a date of registration as Election Day. That's in one county alone. This has the potential to be a massive problem with data integrity. In 2016, Wake County had 3,188 provisional ballots cast. That is in a presidential cycle when you have a high turnout, and we had a 69% turnout. This time, we had only a 56% turnout statewide, I believe, 53% maybe. And yet, Wake County had 5,716 provisional ballots cast.
Those ones you were talking about in Union County.
yes.
I think I remember in one of your earlier posts that some of them didn't have any prior voting record at all.
No, they didn't. And if they did, it typically reflected that it was next door in Mecklenburg County.
Right.
Yet Mecklenburg County showed no record of them ever having been registered to vote there or even having been removed, being a former voter in that county.
All right. And there were a couple of cases that voted twice in Union County.
Yes. All it right. says they did.
Diane has a question.
Yeah, Dave,
sure.
You know, so far with the legislature, they've done the right thing as far as addressing the voter fraud, which is just one part of this integrity issue
yep.
that we have in our state. So the other is what you work on, which is election fraud. And so far, there's really, as far as I can tell, there's nothing to address that aspect of it, which, as I say, it's pretty enormous. Are there any types of legislation or recommendations that you would like to make or help us to make to our legislature to address this particular problem? Is there anything you think that can be done? Because what you're yep. discussing is this manipulation of data, you know, that's state action, right? That's the state actually manipulating the data, having
that's
his
right.
hand in the. It's not people doing it, it's the government.
That can be done. The first one is recompeting the contract to open it back up to other potential vendors. I discovered that back in 2006 when it was either 06 or 04 when Carteret County lost 40,000 ballots during the election that couldn't be accounted for. The federal government created the Help America Vote Act, HABA, and they sent us a bunch of money, and that's where we bought a lot of this equipment and the software from. Well, the state put out a solicitation for bids, and they had a very curious part in it that said if the system failed, they could not only sue the company, but they could sue the CEO personally. And that was rather unusual. And Sequoia, Diebold, IBM, all the other competitors backed out until there was only one company left, ES&S out of Omaha, Nebraska, election systems and software. Once they were the only competitor left standing, they removed that offensive provision and awarded the contract. Now, ES&S does nothing except take about 5% off the top. They're actually the source for the hardware, but everything is billed through a company there in New Bern called Printelect, owned by Owen Andrews. Owen Andrews just happens to be a neighbor of former Governor Beverly Perdue. So everything flows through Owen Andrews and Printelect. And just to give you an idea, Cleveland County pays $40,000 a year for software and firmware maintenance. A technician shows up once a year, spends about 4 hours there, and is gone. And that visit costs the citizens of Cleveland County $40,000. It's only $6,000 in Haywood County, but that's because it's based on a set amount per machine. In Mecklenburg County, it's $305,000.
Dave, that's also maintaining the software that, in theory, should accurately account for the undervote and overvote as you're voting against that ballot.
That is true, and that goes back to Diane's question, what can be done legislatively? We already have people on the budget committees that this time around are going to tear that budget apart line by line, because we have 19 software developers on the staff at the State Board of Elections costing us collectively over $1 million a year above and beyond that contract. Why do we need all of those software developers if we're paying millions in a contract that's supposed to be providing it?
Huh. Sounds like something New Jersey would do.
Well, the other recommendation I have will actually put a stop to a lot of it. You know, the United States, we put security over our nuclear missiles. It takes two people with two keys to launch it, and that's to keep any one person from going rogue. And if we simply set up a second computer, a second copy of the software, and let's say in the Joint Legislative Oversight Committee on Elections, so that the counties simultaneously upload their data on election night to two different computers, that way the tallies can't change.
I like that.
They can't be modified.
Are you getting any support for that idea from either the legislators or the State Board of Elections?
Unofficially, yes, but I have not yet formally briefed the legislature in any capacity. I expect that to happen sometime in the next 4 to 6 weeks. Speaker Moore has put new leadership on the House Elections Committee. Representative Destin Hall from Caldwell County and Representative Holly Grange from New Hanover County. And I have spoken indirectly through Facebook and emails and stuff with them, begun sharing my information with them. But people like Representative Michael Special from down there in your area has followed me very closely. I know he's very well aware of what I've been doing, and he is on the Elections Committee. And I'm getting we have new leadership over in the House. We have Senator Warren Daniel and Senator Dan Bishop, who are head of the Senate Elections Committee. And I know both of those gentlemen. Senator Warren Daniel has actually committed to listening to the entire 2.5 hours of audio of my meeting with Ms. Strack and her staff. And, of course, they recorded that meeting. I did not. It was kind of interesting because when they showed up in the room, they sat down at the table for them, just kind of slid their cell phones out on the table. And about an hour into that meeting, I said, well, you are recording this, aren't you? And they sheepishly admitted, yes, they were. I asked for a copy, received it. I've listened to it. It does not appear to have been altered in any way. So we clearly have her on record, for example, given that directive to stop reporting the over and under votes.
Wow.
There was no Board of Elections at the time to provide any oversight for that decision of hers, and therefore most people, other than the ones in the room, don't even know it was made.
Hmm. Well, Dave, you've been very busy, that's for sure. We need to take
That is for sure, but I have to do it not only because nobody else is doing it. It's just one of these things that's just falling in my lap.
Right.
Come to my door, and I'm going to deal with it, and I'm not going to stop until it's completely addressed. Either that or the legislature is just going to have to admit they're going to be ostriches and stick their head in the sand and pretend that nothing's wrong.
Right.
And I understand that mentality, Rick, because all of us want to believe that our election system is above board.
Oh, yes, we definitely do. Well, Dave, we need to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. We have Bob and Mary Griswold and Diane Ruffino with us here from CCTA. And on the phone, we have Major Dave Getz talking to us about election fraud. Now, Major Dave, just for the benefit of our listeners that are wondering, well, who is this guy and how is he qualified to do this stuff? Can you give a little background on your experience with working with data?
Sure, Rick. Well, I'm a career Army officer. I retired back in 1995. My branch was military police. I was trained as an investigator. But I spent several years at the Pentagon, and part of that was managing a data operation. So I worked with relational databases before SQL was even developed. That's standard query language, which is kind of the industry standard now for database construction and management.
All right.
So I understand the principles of how different fields of data relate to each other. And when I started downloading from the Board of Elections, what I realized I had to do was, because from election night, these files change daily until they're official and certified. So I downloaded the file every single day. Well, then I merged those into a single file, sorted by county and by voter, and then I can look at each person's record to see if their data changed in any way from one day to the next. And when I find data that changed, well, for example, Craven County makes its last upload to the state on November 16th. That's the day of the canvass.
Right.
When I find data that changed on the 20th of November, the 28th of November, in some cases the 6th and 7th of December, who is changing this data if it's not coming from a county upload?
Well, now, it's already been uploaded by the county, so it must be being changed at a higher level.
It should. It has to be. And the way they're changing it is they're somehow linking that election data to current data records. And I discovered that, again, back in 2016, but the difference between that February file and the December file I mentioned earlier, because the voter's name changed. They were females. And the first name was the same, the address was the same, the party registration, everything was the same, but they'd either gotten married or divorced.
Wow.
Since the election. Now, why do we need to go back and update that information? It shouldn't change. Granted, it changed later, but that has no effect on who they were and how they registered and what data was being used at the time that ballot was cast.
Correct. You've talked to us about the software. I've been a judge at the polls for a number of years now. And one of the things that strikes me is the some of the hardware is old.
It was old when we bought it. And we are getting ready to go back to paper ballots, all paper ballots in North Carolina. So these counties that have been using DRE, direct recording electronic boxes, the touch screens, if you will, have to go back to paper ballots. Well, if we're stuck with ES&S as the only certified vendor, they're going to be buying the same Mark 100 and Mark 200 ballot scanners. Now, we bought those in 2006. The Mark 100 uses a 386 processor. That was replaced in 1993 by the 486 processor, which the Mark 200 uses, and they were both replaced in 1995 by the Pentium processor. So we bought decade-old technology at top dollar in 2006 with this contract.
Wow.
Now, there are limitations to those processors. They can only handle a certain number of ballot variations within a given county. And when they start splitting lines and splitting precincts between one district and another, they have to have multiple versions of the ballot, even within the same precinct. And when that happens, it forces them to bundle their initial results. That's why we see files or vote results for candidates being reported by voting method, like absentee and provisional, instead of the precinct where the person was actually registered. There's also no security on those chips like we have today. There's none of this encryption or anything else in there. It's almost impossible to make them secure, other than the fact you don't have them connected to the internet.
Right.
So all of the files that you work with are all clear code files?
I didn't hear the question.
All of the files that you've been working with are just regular ASCII data?
Yes, they come either as plain text files or as CSV, comma separated values. And I import them into an Excel spreadsheet and then can sort them and rearrange them or screen them from there.
Right. Well, you touched on something I want to clarify for our listeners there when you said that the machines are not connected to the internet.
Right.
Because of all this stuff about Russia hacking in and other, maybe the Chinese, other folks hacking into our elections, we need for our listeners to understand that that is not possible. At least not in North Carolina, because our voting machines are not tied to the internet in any way. So there's no outside connection that anybody can come through on to get in and hack the data. What we're talking about here is a totally different thing, and that's the manipulation or hacking or whatever terminology you want to use of the existing database that has already been uploaded after the election. It's uploaded from the local computers to the State Board of Elections, and what you're finding is that data is changing after the fact.
It's sort of like the bank going in and changing all of your bank records after they've sent you your statement.
Exactly. And to be honest with you, Rick, we have better controls on a $2 purchase on Amazon than we have on our election data.
Wow.
We find people, it says the date they voted was 1/06/6218. Now, I know somebody mistyped 11/06/2018.
Right.
But the system didn't even catch it.
Right.
It allowed them to put in an out-of-date range. I found one whole record that showed up that was a provisional cast in the spring primary. It was in the system for about 10 days before it disappeared. I mean, did they actually pick up a provisional ballot envelopes from the spring and enter it in there? I don't know. But it says voted 4/26/2018.
Right. And then that is the problem with this. You don't know. You don't have any way to verify.
Exactly.
I
have found provisional ballots that originally were approved and then on the 28th of November was changed to not counted. And vice versa. I found other records that were originally not counted and then in late November, early December were changed to approved. And again, it's not enough to change the outcome of the election, but it does help justify that original, that altered outcome that I believe took place in the digital. You know, when you look at 2016, the only four statewide races that the Democrats won were governor, attorney general, secretary of state, and state auditor. And those four just happened to be the four positions that have a statutory or constitutional duty to conduct elections and investigate voter fraud in North Carolina. The Democrats took control of the elections in North Carolina in 2016, and I believe it was part of a long-range plan. And just as a little further proof, you know, three people got a negative number of votes in 2016.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Well, I sat there in Strack's office. I said, ma'am, can you tell me what an accumulated ballot is? She said, what do you mean? I said, no, not absentee, not provisional, not in person, but accumulated. She said, I've never heard of it. I said, well, you ought to go look at the 2012 results file because you'll find hundreds of votes that came from ballots called accumulated. That status has never showed up in any election prior or since, but it was used prolifically in 2012. And she had no explanation. Now, that means either somebody at the contractor level or somebody at the state level has the ability to go in and fabricate out of thin air a whole status of ballots and put it in there, and nobody's the wiser.
Wow. Well, you've convinced me. I absolutely agree with your idea on we need it being uploaded to a second location, whether that's in legislative offices or SBI or FBI or wherever.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just so we can have at least something to try to go back and authenticate against. Well, we need to break again to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security, LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills.
To find the date of our next class, visit our website at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com.
Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs,
pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, our guest today is Major Dave Goetz, and Major Dave is a data analyst that's been analyzing the State Board of Elections data on our previous elections. And Dave, I want to jump back to, I've been going through some of my notes here and looking at some of the things you've said in the past. And one was, you said someone at the Wake Board of Elections needs to explain why up until November 20th, all 5,716 of the provisional ballots were flagged yes in the DMV registration issue field. Yes. And on the 28th, they had all their statuses changed to no.
Yes. That's the only county I've found so far, and I've only done about 23 counties. I actually was working backwards through the alphabet, starting with Yancey.
So explain the significance of that. I mean, I know the fact that there was over 5,000 records all changed.
That suggests bulk data alteration.
Okay.
I don't think somebody sat there and went through 5,716 records and manually changed a yes to a no. That sounds to me somebody wrote a script and ran it that went in and did all that.
Okay, but there's no logical reason why they would do that, is there? What does
No, but it does not surprise me because the results file in 2016 told me that nobody voted curbside in Wake County at all.
And we know that's not true.
And we know that's not true. I was there. I witnessed it.
Right.
And it showed up in other forms, in other reports, that there were people voting curbside. But in the results report, not a candidate got a vote from a curbside ballot. All of them were zeros.
So
that, you know, it's cumulative. And I still don't have all the pieces to the puzzle, and I admit that. And I know there's logical explanations for some of it. But there's just too much that doesn't make sense, like the negative votes that a candidate gets or all of these records being changed, especially over a holiday period like Thanksgiving. And that's when most of the changes took place, between the 20th and the 28th. But the Board of Elections did not post any updates for the 21st through the 26th.
Is there any time limit on how long they keep these the original data, the county level, state level? Is it possible?
They're required to keep all the paper, if they use paper ballots, the paper, or if they're electronic, the electronic records for 22 months if it's a federal election. If it's a local municipal or referendum election, then it's only 12 months. But 22 months is the federal rule.
Okay, so that's the ballots. But how about the data that's uploaded and all? Is that preserved for a longer period of time, or is it deleted?
I'm finding out that most counties keep them in perpetuity. They don't ever get rid of anything.
Well, that might be a good thing.
It might be. And I've asked several counties to go in and check and verify, for example, the number of provisional ballots they reported to the state so I can compare it to what's actually in the state file. I've only heard back from one, and it matched to the number, but that doesn't prove anything one way or the other.
Dave, talk about all these incidents that we can't explain, or even officials can't explain. For the listeners, voter ID is really not going to fix this, right? It may help a little bit, but pretty much this is a whole nother bag of worms, right?
Well, exactly, because that will address voter fraud, but it will not address election fraud in any way.
And voter fraud, is still a significant problem that we have to address. And I know that's not what you're dealing with there, but it is. Hopefully, the voter ID will stick, and we will.
That addresses one issue. But if this is just like willy nilly, anything goes at the Board of Elections or when the returns come in. It doesn't matter what we do as far as making sure a person is who they say they are if they can manipulate data after the fact. Mm-hmm. And this really troubles me a little bit more than voter ID.
Dave, I for one appreciate all the effort you've put into this, and you've revealed some irregularities that I feel like we need to have some answers to the questions. But the main question I have is, what do we do? Where do we go from here? How do we get more attention? I feel like somebody somewhere is doing something they need to be prosecuted for.
Absolutely. And this can't stand. We can't go forward with this. This shouldn't be tolerated.
Yeah, especially now. I mean, we know it's there. We've got to have some way that we can get to the legislators and get their attention, or maybe the SBI, I don't know. But
start calling and writing your members of the legislature, because once they take official notice, then the others will have to fall in line, the investigative agencies, the media, and everybody else. I can tell you that one of my biggest difficulties, besides trying to make sense out of nonsense, is that when I only get 3 to 5 minutes with a legislator, there's not a whole lot I can tell them that really paints for them the entire picture. You and I spent almost, 20 minutes here on the phone already, close to 30 minutes or more?
Yep.
And I've only begun to scratch the surface of everything that I've found. And so that's why it's going to take formal hearings, and that's why I believe they are going to give me at least an hour, if not two, in Raleigh sometime in the next few weeks to come to Raleigh and actually put all this in front of the legislators with that specific view of what they can do legislatively. I could waste a lot of time telling them about all the details, but I fortunately have established enough credibility with enough of them now that they do take what I say very seriously, or I don't think they'd be affording me that audience, and I've been promised it, so I'm hoping that will happen in the very, very near future.
We
can see some official action, but your listeners can start calling their representatives or writing them, emailing them in both the House and the Senate in Raleigh. Don't waste time on your congressional representatives. And again, my condolences to Walter Jones' family. I'm so sorry to hear that he passed away. So I know a lot of them don't have representation right now. But there's really not much people in Washington can do about it unless I can also show that ES&S is doing the same thing in other states, because they have a contract with 32 other states. They control the elections equipment and software in about 60% of the country. And if these weaknesses that can be exploited exist in North Carolina, you can guarantee they exist in those other states. And I know these people go to conferences and talk among each other. Somebody is probably exploiting them there as well.
Right.
And that will make it a national issue.
Well, Dave, I know our listeners are probably just as upset as we are about what we're hearing here and intrigued by it. But they're not going to remember everything that we've said here. So I'm going to point them to your Facebook page.
Please do.
And that's David, D-A-V-I-D.
Yes.
Goetz, G-O-E-T-Z-E.
Correct.
David Goetz, D-A-V-I-D, G-O-E-T-Z-E. And on your Facebook post, you have a lot of spreadsheets posted there, a lot of things you've told us today. Is there any other place they could go for information?
Well, yes. I also have a YouTube channel, and it's simply Major Dave NC on YouTube. And there they can find the hour-long documentary I made following the 2016 election. And I admit it's an hour long. It's very boring because it's mostly just data. But if you really want to understand the magnitude of the discrepancies that I've uncovered, that documentary lays it out right in painful detail.
It does. It does. It's very informative.
David, I'd like to add, having retired from IT in manufacturing or whatever else, and having to work under Sarbanes-Oxley, is there yes something that should be put into the voting thing like Sarbox?
Off the top of my head, I really don't know how to answer that question. That's something I want to give some thought to, and I will at least get back to Rick with an answer for that.
Because I had to justify any kind of changes that we made to data before right we made the changes, and management would have been aware of it up and down.
Well, and when I address the issue of management of IT at the Board of Elections, I am to the point where I conclude one of two things. They are either complicit in this or they are totally inept that it's happening under their nose and they're not catching it. I don't see how it could be anything else.
Especially since you've brought it to their attention.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
They did refute one of the issues I made in 2016. Quickly after Election Day, over 53,000 votes showed up in the governor's race between McCrory, Cooper, and Lon Cecil. But there were only 36,000 ballots approved afterwards. They gave me a 5-page rebuttal where they agreed with some of what I found. But on that particular instance, they said, no, there were 55,000 ballots approved after Election Day. And I never saw that. I didn't have a chance to really read it during the and digest it during that meeting. But when I got home, I realized, well, okay, what data were they looking at? Because to this day, there's still only 36,000 ballots showing up as having been approved after Election Day. So let's assume for a minute, maybe they came in before Election Day. They just didn't get tallied until after. Well, that means that 14,000 or 13,987 vote differential, that means there was an average of 140 ballots per county sitting on somebody's desk that had showed up that never got processed until after Election Day. And I just don't believe that happened.
That doesn't pass the smell test.
No.
And if you look at the provisional ballots in 2018 on election night, when they were counting, there were only 2,000 and some in the system. And it wasn't until the 10th of November that the bulk of them showed up. But it wasn't until just before the canvass. We had a total of 35,000 and some provisional ballots cast last November. And races were being conceded and certified with 33,000. If we only knew of 2,000 on Election Day, there were 30,000 provisional ballots out there sitting in the wind that nobody even knew about because they had not even been entered into the system and would not be for 3 or 4 more days.
Well, David, it's remarkable that you've done so much work, and it's out of your pocket. You're not getting paid to do this.
Oh, yes, that's true.
You're just a very concerned citizen, a patriot that's out here trying to get some answers for the rest of us, and we do appreciate that.
Well, you're quite welcome, because I've talked to people at Civitas, and I thought about doing that. But, you know, the minute I'd brought another group in, the whole dialogue would have changed. Right now, they only have two options: defend the data or attack me personally.
Right.
And that's why I want to keep it that way, because the focus is on the data. I'm not doing anything that a first semester computer science student shouldn't be able to do in terms of managing these spreadsheets. It's not really about my own investigative skills.
Right.
It's about the data, and that's what we have to keep the focus on.
Well, Dave, keep on doing what you're doing. We're running out of time here for today's show. I do want to remind our listeners that Tuesday night, the 19th of February, our public meeting will be held downtown New Bern at Stanley Hall Ballroom at 7 p.m. Our speaker for that night will be Jay DeLancey of the Voter Integrity Project, and he's going to be bringing us some more information on voter fraud, not election fraud necessarily, but on the potential for voter fraud and some of the things that are going on in that area. Again, Major Dave Getz, we appreciate it. Go to his YouTube channel, and what was that again, Major Dave?
Major Dave NC.
Major Dave
NC. Major Dave NC.
Major Dave NC for North Carolina. Great YouTube videos there. And he is David Getz. That's DavidGoetze on Facebook.
And there's also a Major Dave page as well. There's a public figure page. But either way, they can find me.
Great. Well, Dave, have a good evening. Thanks again for joining us, and we appreciate all that you're doing. That's all
Thanks
the time
for the
we have.
Opportunity and for you making it public, because that's what it's going to take, is getting the word out to the people.
Well, that's what we're interested in, is educating the public on what's going on. Well, that's all the time we have for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. Please visit our sponsors. Tell them you heard about them here on CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday.
Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Also, the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties. Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.